Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast, 2 in 2 weeks. We are on a roll, so are Norwich City, whisper it. We'll talk about their victory at West Bromwich Albion at the weekend. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt, and Sports Desk Peter Raven, who has just about managed to catch the highlights of the game in time to join us on the podcast, which is good news indeed. It was pretty much, Pad, the perfect weekend for Norwich City, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, mate. Could have settled. If I'm being greedy, I'd have 3 or 4 goals would have been nice for the goal difference, which is my fear when Sunderland went 1-0 up yesterday against Newcastle, but they might extend their advantage because ultimately it may come down to that, you never know, but positive signs, long overdue.
Yeah, it's been a long time since a podcast, well, A, was recorded, we could have said that last week, but since a victory, January the 2nd, the last time Norwich City won a football match. Exactly 3 months since Norwich went away from home, in that, which was of course the victory at Manchester United, which was, had everyone being so positive about things. Are you starting to believe, Pete? Do you believe that Norwich can survive this season?
I believe they can if they win the next three. If they don't, then they won't. That's what it comes down to, doesn't it?
So if they get 7 points out of the next three, you won't believe?
No, it's got to be 9.
Oh, tough Pad, you know,
that still only puts us on what, 34 points?
It'll be a low tally. There'll be a low tally.
You think 34 will be enough?
Well, Sam reckons he wants 4 wins to keep them safe over the last 8 games. They've got 8 games, haven't they? Newcastle and Sunderland have both got 8 games left. Sam says 4 wins will do it. Theoretically, Norwich have won 1, and so wins a bit.
I'll let you have 7 then.
7 points out of 9 over the next 3 games. I mean, the next 3 games are absolutely crucial, aren't they, Pad? We've got Newcastle at home, Crystal Palace away, and then Sunderland at home. I mean, it is feasible. Norwich beat Newcastle, Palace lose at West Ham, that Norwich would have the chance of going above Crystal Palace at that point. And not that I'm, you know, counting too many chickens.
Well, talking stats, they haven't won a league game since December the 19th, I think, which is makes Norwich's run since Christmas look positively upbeat. But no, I'd take 7. If you offered 7 now at these 3, I'd snap your hand off, because they'll beat Watford down here. They won't have anything to play for, whether they're in the cup final or not, final week of the season. So yeah, that's a banker win for me. So yeah, 7 from these 3 all day long, and I think that'd be enough. 10.
Crystal Palace were 5th on New Year's Day, 5th in the table. December the 19th was the weekend that Norwich won at Old Trafford. So in the time Norwich haven't won away from home, Palace haven't won at all in the league. You know, if only people could have foreseen a Alan Pardew side going for a long time without a win.
I mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's like, just keep an eye on Palace. It's like, I remember Pardew at the start of the season saying we're not interested in looking at anyone below the bottom 6. The top 6. And it's, yeah, they're just in free fall, but you don't want to be a case of when a team's in a rut, along come Norwich. And Selhurst Park is a bit, I think it's up there of Craven Cottage in terms of places we don't particularly perform at. So yeah, time to break it. I noticed in your article about getting monkeys off our back, there's another one. Win at Selhurst Park, and then they're right back in it.
It's true, it's been a long time. I mean, I have to be honest, I can appreciate it getting a bit nervy for Palace, but they're probably 1 win away from being safe.
They've got the quality to, I don't know if it's the quality to beat us or the quality to stay up. I think it might have been to beat us, which is actually team talk sort of for Alex Neil.
Classic Pardew. I mean, yeah. They, you know, Yannick Bolasie, Wilfried Zaha, Johan Kabay, they've got a pretty good set of players there. Well, we'll see. I mean, predominantly, if we take it between Newcastle, Sunderland and Norwich, did you watch the Tyne Wear derby? What did you make of it? Because I thought Newcastle were a bit of a shambles, and Sunderland, it's probably good that Sunderland were able to drop those 2 points.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. Although then I think Norwich should have been 7 clear of Newcastle, if I'm not mistaken. What are they now, 4? So yeah, 6 or 7, and then beat them down there, you'd have probably put them out of the race, and then it would almost just come down to Norwich or Sunderland, because I think Palace probably will just get themselves over the line. But no, I just thought it was a team who knew what was at stake, and as soon as they went behind, that crowd, you know, you could sense it in the stadium, which is why, worryingly, I think they'll be better at Carr Road, because they won't have that pressure of 50,000 Geordies basically telling them that it isn't good enough. So I think that's a concern, really, for throwing it forward for the game in a couple of weeks. But But in terms of what you saw there, I mean, basically it was Andros Townsend for me. If they keep him quiet, I don't see him creating a great deal. And for Sunderland, it's Defoe all day long. But at his age, is he going to impact on games week in, week out now? Probably not, but he certainly knows where the goal is. So, yeah, in isolation, there's one or two things to concern yourself about in each team. But really, if Norwich maintain this sort of intensity that Alex Neil talked about after West Brom, then they should have enough to see both of those off, I think.
Ginny Wijnaldum playing as a sort of slightly deeper midfielder would help as well, because the further he is away from goal, I think the better too. Yeah, we sort of turned this conversation around a bit, haven't we? We're looking forward, because the West Brom game wasn't the best, but it didn't matter, because it was all about the result. Absolutely. There was a guy who was trying to give away a DVD of the game in the press box and press room after the game, said, "Yeah, DVD if anyone wants it."
How long was that?
What's that?
DVD.
Well, it's of the match.
Oh, not highlights.
No.
In its entirety. And he was short of any takers. So that probably says all you need to about the game. But you've seen the highlights, Pete. So did you enjoy the highlights?
Even they were quite dull. Yeah, the Norwich City goal, O'Neill's pass to Sessegnon, and that was pretty much your lot in terms of highlights. I don't know if there's any more that have been missed by the package I watched that you boys saw.
No, I don't think there was anything. There were a few chances. Jakob hit the post with a pretty crisp drive, but that was about it. So what were the redeeming features of this win then, Pad? What stuck out for you, aside from all those goal mouth incidents that didn't happen?
You've answered your own question there, mate. The win, that was the only redeeming feature. Because if you were paying to watch that, you'd want a refund, let's be honest. And those lads and lasses who went, fair play to them. And I think that's why Alex Neil was probably quite keen to dedicate that win to them, because they've had, not unusually for a Norwich away season, a lot of dross to put up with. So, you know, it was more of the same on that regard. But what did they do different to previous weeks on the road? Well, they got the first goal, didn't they? Ultimately, that's what it boils down to, because the parallels with Swansea were obvious in the first half. Neither team had enough quality or seemingly ability to grab the initiative, but that first goal and the nature of how West Brom go about things, you knew then it was just going to be a, can you defend your box, because they weren't going to cut you open too often. And that's how it panned out. So yeah, not one that'll live long in the memory, but another example, another clean sheet, another example that defensive unit, albeit Basson came in for Ryan Bennett, and the two lads in front looking nice and solid now. My only concern now moving forward is the top end of the pitch. You'd like to see a few more goals now, and if they could marry the goals now to what looks like to be some defensive resolution, then, as I say, I don't think there's anything to fear.
That's nice though, isn't it? That's almost a sign of working through the problems, that you can say that you've got something there and you can focus on something else, as opposed to, well, we've got to stop shipping goals there, and we've got to start scoring some up here, and we've got this, that and the other issue, and all sorts of shenanigans. And you're right about the parallels with Swansea. I really wish the first goal wasn't crucial, because I hate that fact, because it's like the first goal decides the game and you want the belief to get back into it. But it just does, doesn't it, Pete? It just does decide these games at the moment.
Well, following you two boys on Twitter at the weekend, you both mentioned Swansea quite a lot in the first half and in terms of how the game was panning out, and you just thought, but it's known as it two clean sheets in a row, what was it, West Brom didn't have a shot on target. You're just limiting teams to nothing. It's okay, it's not very interesting to watch, and you can say we out Pulis, but is it one goal, 4 points?
It's
amazing what playing players in the right position can do at the back four. But it's like Paddy says, it's sorted at one end and it's gone, just needs the other end sorting out now. And I don't know how he performed throughout the 90 minutes at West Brom, but Bamford was all right against Man City, and Bukayo came in for a bit of stick in the first half on Saturday. He was a bit lightweight, but then second half he sort of transformed, didn't he?
Well, I suppose he got a bit more space and he got more involved in it, Bad, didn't he? And
well, in the first half, he spent more on the deck getting treatment than he did. But, when the game opened up a little bit, and Alex Neil was very effusive. He thought he did exactly what he was in the side to do, which was to win flick-ons and get him high up the pitch and try and hold it up. But, yeah, but you'd say Bamford in the first half as well. They were both basically second best. And that needs to change, as I say, to labour the point. You know, if they can keep it tight about these next two games, because we know it's going to be pretty tense, very tense, in fact, at Carr Road, and woe betide if they concede the first goal. But you're going to need to have a goal threat, you know, to win these two games. You're going to need to have a goal threat. So, you know, I'd expect, Pete, you'll be glad to hear, I think Wes will come back in for Newcastle. So there's a bit of creativity there, but he's obviously not in no shape or form a prolific goal scorer. So, you know, you just hope that, given they should have a fair share of possession in the final third, that, you know, lads can chip in. Because that's been the problem all season, really.
Did you see Stephen Naismith came on late on as well? Did you see a bit of promise that he was maybe at a slightly higher level than before he disappeared? Or
yeah, there was one or two last little touches, but it wasn't really his game, was it? I mean, at that stage, it was all basically about protecting what they had, I think, rather than looking to proactively go on and get another one. There was a nice ball he put through for Johnny Alson. It reared up off his chest in stoppage time. So, you know, we all know he's a very good player, but we haven't seen it apart from Liverpool, so about time he delivered, I think.
Absolutely. All right, then. Well, let's hear from Johnny Howson and Alec Neil.
Yeah, it feels good, but it's like you say, it has been a long time coming. You know, I think our performances are merited more than what we've gotten sort of recent games. I wouldn't be convinced that that'd be the best we've played over the last five or six matches, but at the end of the day, it's a win. We're really pleased with it. It's another clean sheet as well, which we've been sort of criticised this season for. So that's two clean sheets in a row, which is great. And we're setting sort of foundations to try and build on for these games coming up. We changed tact a little bit today. We went sort of a bit more direct in terms of putting the ball into wider areas and trying to get crosses in. I've looked at teams that have caused West Brom problems this season, Leicester in particular, walked the ball into wide area, get it in the box and managed to get goals from it. So, I'm just pleased that I managed to work today. And credit to the players, you know, they're quite different for the way we generally play, and they managed to go out and do exactly what I asked them.
It's obviously a very nice feeling. Whenever you win games, you've got that nice feeling. You know, and I think we got maybe what we deserved. I think performance-wise, it's been similar to recent weeks, but I feel as if we maybe just got a little bit of rubber green. We've been maybe saying over the past few games where they just wanted to drop for us in the box, and luckily we got that today. But you know, certainly the last two games, I think on the other hand, defensive side, we've looked very solid. Two clean sheets now, and we've got to build on this. I think every game we've maybe looked at the opposition and seen what things we can and can't do. You know, but I think we've just certainly the last two games we've given it a right good going. I think we've just got maybe what we've deserved. Obviously before this game it was a case of building on last week, and I think we've done that very well.
West Bromwich Albion, they got booed off on Saturday, Pete, and as I've kind of repeated myself several times, I thought that was the best they'd played in their three games against Norwich. I found them pretty average. There are quite a few average teams, Swansea, and I suppose Palace getting dragged in. It's kind of the first half of the season, sat there thinking, oh, you know, the quality in the Premier League has really, really improved. And now I'm looking at some of these sides and thinking,
Yeah, you can throw in Watford and Bournemouth into that mix. It's been, I guess, looking at the Premier League as a whole, it's been not a brilliant season, has it? I guess other than the Leicester fairy tale, and even that shows that it's been like you should have the big four aren't anywhere to be seen, and a lot of teams are struggling, and everyone says, oh, it's been a poor season, but I don't know how you sort of gauge that. It's only a poor season if you go down, really, isn't it?
So, yes, ultimately that'll be it.
I mean, haven't West Brom fans been booing West Brom off for quite a while anyway? They're too happy with the style of play that's been forced upon them by Pulis. I mean, I remember the highlight of going to West Brom's Divine, so via pre-match curry.
I've never been to this place, Pad. Have you ever?
No, first of all,
best away pub in the country. Apparently, I've never. When I went to West Brom, I went to a different pub completely for some reason. But you always, whenever Norwich play West Brom, you always see on Twitter the pictures of curries being eaten.
Everyone goes to the Vine, and the fans mingle.
Yeah. It looks like the sort of ideal away pub, I guess.
I don't know. If only we had, you know, three hours spare before the game, it'd be nice to go get along, I think. Should we touch on the injuries, Pad? Because as you said, Ryan Bennett missed out. We don't actually know what the exact knock is, do we? Other than it's, you know, it's there and kept him out. Seb was back in. And he sort of warmed to the task, but can't really afford any more injuries. And obviously, Robbie Brady went off again to repeat his trick against Swansea, where he had to walk around the pitch after he'd scored the goal. Obviously, thankfully.
Yeah, but he hadn't scored at Swansea as well. To continue that parallel, yeah, but Yeah, I think he'll be all right. By all the smoke signals Alex Neil was coming out with, and the fact that they even let him go and join up with the Republic, I think come Newcastle, I'd imagine he will be running. Well, I'd definitely expect him to be running out. But obviously this morning, Monday morning, Naismith's pulled out of Scotland squad, Whittaker as well to a lesser extent, given he's not been really involved. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if Alex Neil would welcome a few more withdrawals over the next few days, because, you know, it's, heaven forbid, I'll pick a name at random, Tim Closer gets an injury playing for Switzerland, then that really would be a bit of a bolt. So yeah, we need these next 2 weeks worth of international fixtures to pass without incident, hopefully.
You say you pick a name at random, but Tim Closer, how good has he been the last few weeks?
Well, I mean, I wrote my column on it last week, not trying to be wise after the event, and was told it was a bit of a bandwagon piece of writing, which I beg to differ. But
who told you that?
Some clown, I don't know what his name was.
But,
well, yeah, still a clown, but to be fair, when I put my reasons across, he did come back and accepted them, so, you know, maybe clown with a lowercase c rather than uppercase. But the lad's quality. You don't play for Wolfsburg, you don't win the German Cup, you don't get in the Champions League, and then don't get into the group stages. The final knockout stages. Admittedly, he wasn't a front line option, but he's still part of that squad, and you can see that. And it was always going to be that period. And Alex Neil said himself, you know, particularly lads who come from overseas, and maybe we've seen it to a greater extent with Pinto, that it does take them time to adjust. But he's certainly worked through that now. And I think, you know, contrary to, as I was just amusingly pointing out there, I think it's more than one game. I think he's been good since, well, probably Chelsea onwards. And in fact, the only really blemish, well, two maybe, was the way Agbonlahor ran away from him and Bassong that day at Villa Park, and Moses against West Ham, which is a slight concern, because both of those were common denominator was searing pace. So I think there's still a question mark against him if he's isolated against the speed merchant. But the way they've defended of late, they've been far more compact, far deeper, and he hasn't been exposed. So as long as that isn't the case, I don't have any fears, really, say when Newcastle come here and you see the lad Mitrovic, because he's just a bit of a battering ram. I think them sort of players he can deal with all day long. It might be a bit more of an issue when he's playing a Defoe or a character like that, but obviously that's to come. But yeah, no, for me, he's you know, it's no coincidence, is it, Norwich are now keeping clean sheets, because he's been very good and he's making players around him very good as well. Ryan Bennett looked far more secure in it, and Bassong, as you rightly say, after that initial 20 minutes or so, got to grips with it, and he was very good alongside him, made some excellent blocks there towards the death. So yeah, it's amazing. You buy good players, you improve your team.
I get the last dibs on columns during the week, because mine goes in Friday's paper. If you hadn't have written about Tim Closer that week, I would have done, definitely, because I think that's the impact he's been having, definitely. What I do hope is that Alex Neil doesn't chop and change the back four to adjust it for the threats that he comes up against, because I desperately want it. I know that Ryan Bennett was injured, so it needed the change, but it'd be nice if it stayed how it was.
I don't think he will. I think the only change would be Bassong and Bennett. I think that's the last two games. You can't mess with that, because that's what's gone right. So if he did, then you'd have to question that. And I mean, was it Liverpool when he said he put Martin in the middle because he thought was best to in central defence against their players, and look how that turned out. So
it was good for 60 minutes.
You'd hope Ruddy in the back four are what we're going to see for the rest of the season. Maybe switch Bassong and Bennett, and like you say, fingers crossed there's no injuries in these meaningless friendlies.
So the win on Saturday was the first win for Stephen Naismith, Tim Closer, Ivo Pinto, all the new signings. It was the first win for my little boy Archie. He wasn't listening at home or anything, because he's only 7 weeks old, obviously. So first wins, hopefully that's had a positive impact at Colney. We should talk about the goal. Johnny Howson's ball in, Diomercy and Vakani did very well in pulling the ball across, I thought. Robbie Brady finished it off, and the bit in the middle was Matt Jarvis's assist. Now, is there a word you want to use for Matt Jarvis's assist?
Spawny. Adam Drury tweeted he loved the back heel.
Well, it was the fact that he faked a shoot, pirouetted, and then backheeled it to Robbie Brady, who in the corner of his vision he'd sort of seen running beyond him.
So he had a bit of luck. It's about time.
Yeah, is it? Is it? Do you think it's just down to this sort of slight change of fortune?
Well, yeah, but it's clearly what happened wasn't what he meant to happen. So it's luck.
It was the bit I love is it was his first assist since May 2014, and he's a winger.
Is he claiming that as an assist?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I guess it was the last person to touch before it went to the goal scorer.
Premier League fantasy football, he will get points for an assist for that, definitely.
Yeah, who plays that? Clowns, I guess.
And me.
Yeah, no. Who cares? It's a goal, it's a 3 points, move on.
Which we will. International break, I was kind of talked about it really, as I say, just hope no one gets injured, and they're all pretty meaningless games, aren't they? I mean, not to the international managers, I suppose. That's the key point, isn't it, Pad? These guys only have these players at set windows during the year, and as much as Alec Neil says, oh, I hope they'll realise that these players are in a relegation scrap, if that's the only time they've got with their players and they've got European Championships to prepare for, then it's different, isn't it?
That's the key for me, is the ones who are preparing for the Euros. I completely understand why they'd want to get players together and try things out. Less so why the likes of Scotland, bless them, you know, why they've gone and slotted in fixtures, because let's be honest, they haven't got anything to look forward to this summer other than England playing. So no, I can't quite fathom that, but you can't really argue. But having said that, as we've discussed there, you would like to think somebody like Martin O'Neill has been a club manager and has seen it from the other side of the fence. You know, you're not going to flog Robbie Brady for two 90-minute games, because I think he probably knows Robbie Brady's going to be one of his key figures come the summer. So what's he going to actually learn from playing him in, even for an hour, in both of these next two friendlies? You know, ideally, maybe give him an outing in one game, 60 minutes, get him off, and then job done. But you're not telling me he's not going to learn anything he didn't already know about Robbie Brady or Wes Hooland. So, yeah, while I can understand the logic of it, let's just hope common sense prevails, because... Yeah, you would not want to be losing a Brady or a Wes or Tim Closer now.
Now, that's the other argument for international managers, isn't it? That they can experiment because in these windows, and they don't have to use all the players that they've used before. So there's two ways of looking at it. Hopefully everyone will come back all fit and wonderful in time for the Newcastle game in a fortnight. More than 2,500 Newcastle fans, I think, probably, have got tickets for the game. Are you looking forward to it? Pete, what is it going to be like?
Well, we'll win, so it'll be brilliant. As long as the atmosphere is the last 60 minutes against Man City, not the first half hour, then yeah.
But Carrow Road's going to be up for this, isn't it? It's not going to be the nerve. Is it going to be the nervy, oh no, or is it going to be like, literally, we've got off the back of a win.
Let's be up for it. I mean, before Man City, it was all doom and gloom, and then look how that turned out. And you could tell during the game how the team's performance changed the crowd. And it's so Norwich have got to go out on the front foot, because the fact that it's chicken and egg, fans need them to go out there straight away. And we know they'll be right behind them, so, and Geordies make a fair bit of noise as well, so it should be quite a decent atmosphere.
It will be a cracking atmosphere, and this was the thing for me after the game on Saturday, Pad, the celebrations between the fans and the players. I know it's a win, and so that probably comes as a matter of course anyway, but the feeling seemed to be different from a couple of years ago, in that there is that sort of ability to be able to pull together rather than maybe one thing which seemed to be the manager that was kind of getting in the way a couple of years ago.
Yes, fair point. I think we've had passages this season where it has been threatening to go that way, you know, the kind of really flat Carrow Road atmospheres. You know, I can't think of any particular games, but there certainly has been phases and the players haven't really produced either and you feared. But yeah, it's almost, you know, Alex Neil was talking about penny dropped with his players. I think the penny might have dropped with the fans, that they really do need to play their part, because that, you know, it's going to take everything on and off the pitch to get them over the line, because they've gone so many games and really, you know, almost sunk themselves rather than through the efforts of any other teams. I mean, if they'd just maintained that coming out of the new year festive kind of run they were on, then we wouldn't, you know, there'd have been no problems at all. It'd have been a nice comfortable passage. It'd have been a Watford Bournemouth type end to the season, but they haven't, so now they have to pick up their game. And you know, Pete's better qualified than me on terms of the crowd and the atmosphere, but I think they've been quite good of late. I think Chelsea midweek, they were good that night as well, maybe fuelled a bit by the injustices they felt towards the officials. Man City, they were good that day. I just get this, and on the road they've always been bang on, so, you know, I just get the sense that they know it's like with the players, it's time now to really step up, and I don't think they'll need any gimmicks for Newcastle to turn the volume up.
Just bring
for another plastic bag.
You can bring it along and you can hold it up before kickoff, Pete, right. Don't worry about that. Okay, well, it's probably going to be quite a long fortnight, to be honest, waiting for the game, but enjoy your Easters, everyone, or your Easter, everyone, you're only going to get one. But we will see you on the other side when we'll have all the usual build-up and analysis and coverage. Is there anything you want to flag up, Pete? I was like asking you this, if you know, in the meantime.
Just the usual, there'll be a quiz this week on guess the 90s footballer.
Oof, just Norwich City footballers or 90?
No, there are two in there, there's a clue. Neither of them playing for Norwich in the picture.
Oh, look at that.
Either 15 or 20, I can't remember, 90s footballers.
I might have a go.
You should all get 100%.
If you don't, then...
Well, get the sack. No.
Right, thanks for that, Pete. Yeah. And if you've got any of them wrong,
difficult.
Okay, it's not difficult. Yeah, thanks for that. All right, brilliant. Well, that'll be on pinkin.com at some point.
Thursday, 12 o'clock.
There you go. Come on, time and everything. Right, we better get going. Have a lovely Easter. We'll see you on the other side after the Newcastle game, when hopefully we'll all be able to keep this positive stuff up. Until then, thanks, gents, very much. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak soon. Bye.